الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and sisters at the madrasa, I truly sincerely appreciate the concern of some of my friends and also my doctor regarding my health, that I should not have a majlis. I truly appreciate that, because they've got sincere muhabbat and they would like that I recover fully before I commence a majlis. However, on Thursday when I was told that, and in fact I met some people that had come from Pietermaritzburg, somebody had come from Shallcross and one car from Verlam. Now these were those that I came to know of. Could have been someone else also. Now they did not get the message. They arrived here and there was no program. So it disturbed me. I felt that at the most I was going to, in any case, talk to friends even after the Isha Salat. So for a few minutes, if we had something, they wouldn't have been deprived. Brothers, this deen work is such a thing that it doesn't allow you to rest. If you've got the real concern and fikr, then you don't want to rest. You believe that you have to die one day. Of course, this body is a machine provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we are not allowed to abuse it. But at the same time, if you have to look at the history of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, look at the history of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the history of the Awliya-e-Kiram and the Salaha of the Ummat and the Ulama-e-Haq, that even in their dying breath, the last breath, they wanted to say something so that somebody may benefit. That was their desire. It reminds me of that incident which you have heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, and he relates it from Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that one young woman who was expecting a child, her first child, so she told her mother-in-law that when the time is up for the baby to be born, then you must let me know. If I am fast asleep, it must not happen that the baby is born and I'm unaware. So you must get me up. So the mother-in-law told her that when you will get labor pain, not only you will get up, but you'll get the whole city up. They say in the same manner, when we get the dard and the pain of the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in our hearts, then after that it doesn't allow you to rest. You want to connect yourself with Allah, you want to connect your friends with Allah, you want to connect the ummat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Allah ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That becomes the main concern. Everything else becomes secondary. In the process, the person experiences some pain, some difficulty. So if the person is out of town altogether, then it is a different story. But I felt that probably tonight also somebody could have come from somewhere, not aware that there is no majlis, and the person would have been disappointed. So therefore make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the strength to say something upon which all of us may make amal and gain Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifat, closeness, muhabbat, etc. Some of the sahabas have related that if a person is unable to attain 8 kinds of virtues, remember Allah Ta'ala has got 2 rights, which you have heard many times, that Allah Ta'ala has got the right of azmat and he's got the right of muhabbat. The right of azmat is different and the right of his muhabbat is different. The right of his azmat is that we stay away from everything that is prohibited, everything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of his greatness, his grandeur, his exalted might status, it is only right that we do not displease that creator of ours. That is the right of his azmat. The right of his muhabbat is that we make amal, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Now these are the compulsory things. But besides that, the right of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is we engage in more nafil namazes, engage in zikr, engage in tasbih, engage in charities, engage in all kinds of good a'mal. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has approved of, then we engage in that. What we term as optional ibadat. Something that's not compulsory. The person is now doing it willingly, happily, and he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala's ihsanat, Allah's favors upon him are tremendous. So therefore the desire in the heart of any true Muslim is not to just limit himself to farz, wajib, sunnat. That is a prescription that we give to the weakest of the weak. The person who is very weak, then we say just limit yourself to farz, wajib, sunnat, inshallah that too will be like a pass mark. But for the person who really wants to get Allah Ta'ala's love and muhabbat and closeness and marifat and yaqeen, then there is no other way except to do more and more of the good deeds which are not farz, not wajib. If we have a staff in our business and we tell him that your job is to work from 8 to 5. Now this person, instead of 8 to 5, we go out on a holiday or somewhere. When we come back, they say that this person was working right up till 8 p.m. And he was cleaning the shelves and he was setting the goods and he was doing all kinds of changes in the business so that the business may progress. And when this person returns, he does not even tell him that I worked so hard and I worked after hours. He did it for the pleasure because he says, my boss is a very kind person, a very nice person, a very good person. He has been giving me a good salary. He has been taking care of my needs and requirements. And he has been very gentle and polite. He has never been harsh and hard. So therefore I want to do something for his pleasure. So now this person, this boss, this employer will become even more happy. He will say that this person deserves much, much more. Look at it in my absence, what he did, all optional things. And he didn't even say I worked overtime and I want salary. So like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also got farz, wajib, sunnat, or Allah ta'ala has got namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Now these are compulsory things. Now if a person says, I made my 5-time namaz, therefore I did enough. And we all know the condition of our 5-time namaz also. But in any case, now that is what is the bare minimum. But the muhabbat haq of Allah ta'ala is to do much more than that. Therefore you will find all the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala engaging in tahajjud, ishraq, chash, tawabin, or whatever namazes they can conveniently make. Of course, if they are teaching or they are engaged in other dini activities, then they do not go to nafil and leave out that which is more important. There is a balance in their lives. But you will find all these optional ibadat. But these Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, when something is related from them, then definitely they have heard it from Rasul-e-Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So say that if somebody is weak, somebody cannot achieve those virtuous deeds and actions, 8 have been specifically mentioned in this hadith, then what must he do to get the sawab and get the reward without doing those deeds? Of course, the best would be to do it, because now you will get even more. It will be multiplied. But if you cannot, then how can you get those same stages without doing those deeds? So the first thing that has been mentioned, that if a person cannot get up for tahajjud salat, if he cannot get up for his tahajjud salat, then you have heard that the person should try to make 2 rakats of namaz between the 2 sunnat of Isha and the 3 witr of Isha, and with the niyat of Salatul Layl, then inshallah you'll get up with those people that were making tahajjud. But even then, those people that are making tahajjud, now we want that reward, we want that sawab. But we are always overpowered by sleep. Sleep overtakes us, and we go into such deep slumber that leave tahajjud salat, even our fajr becomes very doubtful. And sometimes we make it, and sometimes we can't make it. But those who are making their fajr at least on time, but they want to get the sawab of tahajjud also. So what must they do? So it is mentioned in the hadith that such people, at least during the day, they should abstain from all sinful things. Tahajjud sawab they may not get, or they may not be able to get up for tahajjud. That's a virtuous deed. It's an optional ibadat, and it's a very good thing if a person can inculcate that habit. But if he cannot do that, then at least stay away from sins during the course of the day, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise this person on the day of Qiyamah with those people who are making tahajjud salat. Because what is the sense of making tahajjud salat, awwabin, ishraq and chasht, and after that not leaving a single woman on the street on whose face we don't cast lustful glances, or after that engaging in fraud, or engaging in lies, or engaging in backbiting. So this person, he says, Ya Allah, I couldn't get up for tahajjud salat, but I've put all my effort into restraining myself from that which you have declared as haram. You can see in everything that is the most important thing, and that is where all the effort has to be made, and that is where all of us seem to find it difficult and we fail. If I say just now, if you read 100 times this, you'll get so much sawab, all of us will start just now. But now this, that if you can't get up for tahajjud, at least stay away from all the sins during the day. Allah Ta'ala will raise this person with those people who are making tahajjud, and he'll give them the same reward that he gives to those that were making tahajjud. Then again, another very good habit is to keep optional fasts, to keep nafil rozas. Not only Ashura and one, two here and there, 13, 14, 15 or some other rozas of the month. Now and again to keep some nafil rozas. It is a good habit. We should inculcate it. If we've got the strength and the health, then we should try and keep this nafil rozas. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, Rasul-i-Pak, Sallallahu-Alaihi-Wasallam, the Awliya-i-Kiram, in fact, some of them kept so many fasts, nafil fasts, that half the year or more than half the year they were fasting. But if we find ourselves weak and we cannot get that stage that person will get who is fasting most of the time, keeping nafil fast, then what should this person do? That the person cannot keep fast, he cannot keep nafil fast, because he cannot make that much sabr. Either the days are long or he is weak or whatever the weakness may be, then this person, at least he should control his tongue from all haram during the day. If he controls his tongue from haram, in other words, if this person only keeps the fast of the tongue for the day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will raise him on the day of Qiyamah with those people who are keeping all those nafil fasts. Because what kind of fast is that the person is depriving himself of food and drink and carnal relationship with his wife, but at the same time this tongue is engaged in so much of ghibat, so much of lies, so much of false oaths, and so much of swearing, and so much of abusive language, and so much of other sins that the tongue is engaged in. So this person, if he wants this sawab, if he wants to get up on the day of Qiyamah with those people who are keeping a lot of nafil rozas, but he found himself weak, as we are, because I'm trying to find a way for all of us where we can go to Allah Ta'ala easily. Because I'm very weak, therefore I'm looking for way out, easy route. The mashayikh of the time, it is their duty to find an easy route to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for their murideen and for their mutalliqeen and for those who associate with them. Don't give them very, very difficult kind of exercises which they cannot undertake. That is a duty of the mashayikh of the time, that in every time they must see the weakness of the person. Like that example of that person who got the prescription which was of about 200 years ago with regards to constipation. Now that prescription was for those people who ate very simple food, their stomach used to become hard. Now for that kind of constipation, that prescription was good. But with us, people like us, if we have to take that prescription, then the person will run 50 times to the toilet. So this is the thing, that for every time and age, it is the duty of the mashayikh to find the easy route to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now here, look at it, that if I have to say that every one of us, we should try and fast, and we must fast 5 days or 10 days of the month, all of us will say, yeah, hamare bas ki baat nahi hai. But now here, something that is practical, something that is easy, it's not a difficult thing. It is difficult because we have made it difficult to control the tongue, or to withhold the tongue, or to stop talking anything that is evil. We don't have to do anything. It doesn't require effort. It doesn't require spending money. It doesn't require any very strenuous physical exercise. To just hold the tongue, does it require any strenuous exercise? So what a simple thing Rasul-e-Pak is showing to us, that if you cannot fast like those awliya-i-kiram who are keeping so much of nafil rozas, then at least keep the fast of the tongue, control the tongue, because this tongue is causing havoc in society. Hardly a day goes by, practically every day we must receive a few calls of tufan. World War IV, World War V, no more three now, three is gone past. And most of the times, the major cause of it is this tongue. One slip of the tongue, they say that just one matchstick is sufficient to burn up a whole forest. Just one matchstick. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that don't make anybody your enemy. And don't consider even the weakest enemy as weak, because just one matchstick is sufficient to light up a whole forest. If the person has become an enemy due to deen, then it is a different story. But for worldly reasons, try and cut it down, try and patch up, reconcile, overlook, forgive, do whatever it is, resolve the problem. But don't create enmity, don't increase enmity, because it can burn up. So this tongue is the major cause, it's a major cause. One statement and the person's heart is shattered. After that, no matter how much you try to patch up, the person will forgive, but the wound on the heart doesn't heal. There are many examples that are coming to mind, but I want to try and go further on this hadith. Then, thirdly, if a person has got the desire that he be raised up with the ulama-i haq on the day of Qiyamah. We are not talking about people on whom titles of ulama have been put. People like myself, if we read a few kitabs, then they call us Maulana Sahib, Hazrat, and Sheikh, and Fala, and Fala. The true ulama we haven't seen with our eyes. You don't know who the true alims are. We think that anybody who gives a beautiful speech is a great alim. Any person who gives some fatwas is a great alim. Any person who sings beautiful naat is a great alim. The true alim, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give them long life, and Allah ta'ala must give us the barakat of their knowledge and their sohbat and their company, they have recognized Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to such a degree that the wealth of the world, if it is put at their feet, it will not cause them to swerve from haq. Gold and silver of the world, you can put it at their feet. No matter how rich a person, and he can tempt the person with all his wealth and ask for a favor which is against the sharia, this person will never ever swerve. He will say, you can take all your wealth and go. They have istighna in their hearts. Istighna does not mean that they don't accept anything from a rich person. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted the gifts of rich and the poor. That is not the issue. But they do not lower themselves. They do not beg. They do not extend their hands. And when they receive also, they don't recognize that person as Razzaq. They recognize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as Razzaq, that he put it into his heart, therefore he made him give. After that, they thank that person, because that is Hadith Sharif. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The person who doesn't thank a person for his favor, he hasn't thanked Allah Ta'ala. So that thanks also is, that dua also that they give is because it is Allah Ta'ala's hukam. But not those ulama who, because of a few notes, they are prepared to change their fatwas and change everything. As I mentioned in one of the majlis, that a person had given his wife 3 talaqs and there was no way now that he could cancel it. So he went to that one so-called Maulana. Because what happens today, if a person goes to a Darul Uloom, spends 1 year, 2 years, and comes back, then the cheapest title is the Maulana title. Cheapest title. Everybody will say, Maulana so-and-so of that masjid said this. And if you have to find out, he spent 1 year at some Darul Uloom. Now spending 1 year at some Darul Uloom, or 2 years, or even 5 years, if the person failed 2 years, does it make the person a Maulana? So just as we check in other things, before you choose your, if somebody just comes and says, I'm an accountant and employ me, I will do all your books, do we just hand over books to him? Or if a person comes and says, I'm a surgeon and I operate on tumors, so therefore will we submit ourselves for the brain tumor? we will check that who is this person, what kind of a specialist he is, how many people benefited from his surgery. We will check those credentials of his, and then we submit ourselves. But when it comes to fatwas, when it comes to dini issues, then there is no question of check. As long as that person had one title, that is a maulana, that is sufficient. But if we want to raise our, get on the day of qiyamah, we want to arise in the company of those true ulama, the true ulama-i haq, those great luminaries of Islam, then, and we cannot have that kind of time, or we do not have that kind of ability to seek that much knowledge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His kindness says that with your namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, those things which are essential, and with those masail which are essential which you have learnt, together with that, reflect, ponder, make tadabbur, make tafakkur, think of the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ponder over Allah ta'ala's creation, the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and then after pondering over all those things and reflecting over all those things, then don't say there's no question of Allah, everything is happening on its own. Then say, Rabbana ma khalaqata haza batila, subhanaka faqina azab an-nar. Oh Allah, you haven't created all these things in vain, so save us from the azab of Jannah. That means you recognize Allah after looking at all those things. So that person who for a few minutes, few hours, few minutes of the day, he will ponder, he will reflect, he will sit and look into the creation of Allah Ta'ala and gain marifat of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah on the day of Qiyamah, he will be raised with those ulama whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had blessed with knowledge and with taqwa and with the marifat and the yaqeen. So that is the third category. Then we all know that just as namaz, roza, zakat is farz, hajj is farz, jihad is also a farz ibadat. There are conditions, of course, before you can't just pick up the sword or pick up the gun and go and start shooting anyone and say that's jihad. There are conditions. But when the Amir of the time or the Muslim ruler of the place, when there is a genuine need to wage battle against the enemies and he calls for people to go into jihad, then at that time it becomes the duty of the Muslims to go and participate in that jihad. But then again there will be some like us who will be weak and we cannot participate, but we've got a deep-hearted desire that if I had the strength, if I had the training, then I would have liked to be also in the front row there, and I would have also liked to fire some shots or fire the cannon or fire the missile at the enemies, and either I be successful and victorious, our people may be victorious and successful, or we may get shahadat. And on the day of Qiyamah we can say, oh Allah, jaan di di hui usi ki thi, haq to ye hai ke haq ada na hua. If we gave our life to, what did we give? If we gave our life to, the life was given by Allah. So on the day of Qiyamah at least we can say that. But now that person has got the shock, he has got the jazba, he has got the interest, but just that he's weak, he doesn't have the ability, he doesn't have the training, or age has caught up, so what does he do? So at such a time, this person who cannot go into jihad, and at present all of us are in that category, that we say that there's no jihad here, so what do we do? How do we get the sawab of shahada? How can we be raised on the day of qiyamah with the shaheeds? So he says, such people must make jihad against their nafs. Make jihad against the nafs, and this is jihad-e-akbar, because there could be one bullet strikes and the person is gone forever. And here every minute there is a temptation, every second there is a temptation. Just step outside the masjid and see how much of temptation from here to the home. On the route, en route to your houses, how much of temptation. Now every minute the person is withdrawing, he is restraining himself, he is forcing his sight away from those things that are evil and haram. Now he reaches his home. When he goes home, there he finds his brothers, his sisters, his auntie, his mother, his granny, his grandfather sometime holding a tasbih and watching television. Now he's tempted. Because I saw this with my own eyes. I went to visit one sick person. He's got a tasbih like that and he's watching one film. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So now he goes home. He finds the home environment also, it is not conducive. He heard in the majlis something else. He wants to practice, but the home environment is terrible. It is difficult. Now that is where again that jihad comes, that the person is waging jihad. He goes away into his room, he puts on some tape and listens to some Naat Sharif or some Qiraat or some Waaz or some Majlis or some program like that, or read some literature which is Mubah, which is permissible, even though it may not be Islamic literature, but which is permissible. He occupies his mind in something else, and all the time that irritation is there because he knows he can't stop his father, he can't stop his mother, he can't stop his brother who is a tyrant in the house. Because if he tells him that, they'll say, you are outdated, you are orthodox, you are living in the camel age, this is a modern world. So now he, Pichara, goes one side and he tries to save himself. And it's happening. So now this is jihad, this is that jihad. Or somebody left him as in charge as a cashier in a business, and the person went away overseas, America, Canada, Timbuktu. Now there's temptation, all the time there's temptation, and the person is a poor person also. And the salary also is not a very good salary. Now this person is looking at notes and notes flooding into those machines. Now at that time, there is jihad. That is, nafs is saying that, look at this money. And I am in charge. If I have to take away a couple thousand from here, what will the person come to know? But he says, koi dekhe ya na dekhe, al khuda dekh raha hai. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, tujhe dekhta hai koi aasma se. Now at that time this person, and he says that hum aisi lazzaton ko qabil-e lanat samajhte hai ki jisse dosto rab mera naraz hota hai. That there will be enjoyment, but that kind of enjoyment with which is cursed by Allah, then as far as I am concerned, I've got nothing to do with it. Now when this person is going to do that, that's jihad. Or the person, due to circumstances, it's not his business, he's working for someone, and he's put into a situation like that, that he is the one rooster there and all other hens there. Now at such a time, what does he do? At such a time, what does he do? There are people who are in such kind of situation. They say, what do we do, Maulana? If we leave the job, we got a problem. Unemployment is high. So we tell them, try your best. As you drive, when you are driving, there are lots of trees you pass, lot of cars you pass, lots of human beings you pass, but you don't look at them carefully. You don't look at the shape and figure and color and everything carefully. How you just have a fleeting and a passing glance like that, try. And after that, if your nafs still stole something from there, then make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. What else can the person do? Now that is that jihad that that person is waging, because for that person it is easy that 12 hours or 8 hours that he is working there, he can keep on casting lustful glances at those women. And the women also are fast. Then what does he do? So that is jihad. This is that jihad we are talking about, that this person wants to go for jihad, jihad, jihad. This is the jihad, that every minute there's a jihad for this person. And his status will be that of Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, who gave up his whole kingdom for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and even higher stages, because Allah ta'ala sees that, look at this servant of mine. If there had been another person, then that person would have said, I must enjoy myself, I'm young, I'm fit, I'm healthy, and there is nothing restraining me, and even the society does not look in with regard to these things as anything haram or forbidden. So if it had been another person, he would have been enjoying himself. Allah Ta'ala says, look at this banda of mine. How much of pain he is taking on his heart. How much of pain he is taking on his heart. And you think Allah Ta'ala is not going to respond, or Allah Ta'ala is not going to compensate this person? Allah will give him in his heart such noor, it is unfortunate that we haven't had a taste of that noor. Every time we talk about it, if we only get a taste, that what noor Allah Ta'ala gives, and what sukoon and what peace and what happiness, that you forget all your worries, you forget all your pain, you forget all your difficulties. It is as if you are in a different world. That pleasure that Allah Ta'ala gives you when you restrain yourself, but it doesn't happen with once or twice doing it. It's a continuous process, and then you reach that stage when after that you find an enjoyment, you find an enjoyment. Up on the day of Qiyamah with those mujahideen who gave their lives in that battlefield. Because he was waging a jihad all the time. We will stop here for tonight. Although I can carry on, but my doctor is staring at me. So therefore, we will stop. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to make amal on these beautiful hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May he give us the best of this world too, and the best of akhirah. We must ask Allah for the best. and always believe that whatever comes from Allah Ta'ala, there's plenty of khair and goodness in it. Plenty of khair and goodness in it, no matter what it may be. It may come in the form of good health, or come in the form of ill health, come in the form of good fortune, wealth, or come in the form of poverty. In which, whatever condition befalls a person, there is great khair in it. Allah Ta'ala either is testing the person for his sabr or for his shukr. But as I repeatedly say, that because of our weakness, we must ask Allah for the best. That's why I always say, when you make dua, don't say, "Oh Allah, give me everyday doll. Ya Allah, I want to practice humility, so give me everyday doll. And I want to make sabr, or cause me to starve for a few days." We will sell our iman also sometimes. So ask Allah for biryani every day, or whatever you like to eat. Because some people might not like biryani. So whatever you like to eat, ask Allah for the best. But after that, whatever you get, make shukar on it. Make shukar and eat it. Make sabr and eat it. If you get what you asked for, make shukar. And if you don't get what you asked for, make sabr. But ask for the best of this world too, and the best of akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azabanna. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept whatever has been said and heard. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana faghfir lana zunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Ay Allah, hum sab ko sehat, afiyat, salamati, izzat, rahat, nasib farma. Hamari bimariyon ko, ay Allah, sehat se badal de. Ay Allah, hum behad kamzor. Ay Allah, hum azmaish ka sehen nahi kar sakte. Oh Allah, we cannot take any kind of test. Ya Allah, do not test us in this world. Do not test us in the akhirah. Cause us to enter into Jannah without any reckoning. Oh Allah, forgive all the sins that we have committed, our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my Allah, whatever kind of sins we have committed, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, our brothers and sisters in Kosovo and so many other parts of the world, they are suffering. Oh my Allah, there is nobody to pass the hand of affection and love over their heads anymore. The blood of the Muslim Ummah has become extremely cheap. Oh my Allah, it is because of our sins that they are suffering. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive them. Remove their difficulties and hardships. Ya Allah, restore them back to their homes. Ya Allah, bless them with the best of this world and the Akhirah. And Ya Allah, those zalims who are causing so much of harm and who are doing so much of injustice, give them hidayat. And if hidayat is not muqaddar, then oh Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ya Allah, to unki scheme ko fail kar de. Ya Allah, batil ki tamam scheme ko fail kar de. Ya Allah, hum sab ko sehat, afiyat, izzat, salamati naseeb farma. Maut ka waqt, ya Allah, khatima iman ke upar farma. اے میرے اللہ, ایک دن مرنا ہے. Allah, we have to die. There is no way that we are going to remain forever in this world. Ya Allah, we want a Mubarak death. We want a death on Iman. We want a death in a condition that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, ہم سے راضی ہو جا اور ہمیں آپ سے راضی کر لے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك. I think I forgot to say about that incident, just came to mind about that Maulana changing that fatwa. So he said, now you give three talaqs, there's no way that you can change that. But then he said, yes, there is one way. If you give me 200 or 500 rupees, whatever it is, then I can find a way out for you. So he found a way out for him. He says, normally a person doesn't say talaq with tajweed. So I'm sure you don't know tajweed, you didn't do tajweed. So you must have said, I give you talaq, talaq, talaq. Whereas the correct word is talaq. So you didn't make qalqala. So isliye tumhari talaq waqi nahi hui. That is just like that one Qari sahab, he was teaching his children. He says, now to teach them, to educate them to read correctly, he used to say, you must speak also with tajweed. So one day the Qari sahab was sitting with his amama, with his pagdi, and the lamp or the candle was there, and somehow it caught on with his pagadi. So that student, he started reciting, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hazrat Maulana Qari Sahib, Aapki pagadi mein aag. By the time that aag already, so he was not. Yeah.